held back. You ever heard that phrase? Held back? I can think of a few ways to understand it. Like describing a student who isn't ready for the next grade level, needing more time to prepare, as in the student was held back in the fourth grade, but they excelled in school every grade after that. Or describing a competitor keeping some energy in reserve for a late burst of speed. I think they really held back in the first three quarters of the race. Look at the energy they saved for this final burst of speed. Or describing a person who seems to be restrained from reaching a particular goal. I don't know what held them back, but it's such a shame that they were never able to accomplish what they wanted to do. In this week's reading, one that's very familiar, there are a couple of instances of being held back. First of all, Jesus was held back. Look at the first sentence. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee. Why after John was arrested? Jesus was held back. See, he waited until after John was arrested, until John was out of the picture to begin his public ministry. Either he wasn't quite ready to begin, or he had reasons for holding back. In the Gospel of John, maybe you've heard the story of Jesus turning the water into wine, and Jesus' mother says, "Hey, Jesus, they've run out of wine. Do something." And Jesus says, "Don't you know it's not my time yet?" But then Mary doesn't listen and says, "Do whatever he tells you," and he turns the water into wine. But Jesus was kind of held back there. He waited until after John had been arrested, probably so that he wouldn't become a competitor. Even though John was the herald and Jesus was the Messiah, if John and Jesus were around at the same time, it would be as if they had competing ministries. And then maybe Jesus says it wouldn't work as well. John needed to be out of the picture before his ministry could come to full fruition. So Jesus was held back. With good reason. The disciples, at least those first four, were held back too. Simon, Andrew, James, and John had taken up the family business. What were they? Yeah, you can respond to that. What were they? They were fishermen. But when Jesus called them, it says that immediately they dropped everything. And usually we look at that and say, immediately? I mean, I couldn't do that. I couldn't just drop everything that I'm doing and go and follow Jesus if he showed up there. But they did, and the Bible really doesn't make much of it. It doesn't say, immediately, and that was a big surprise, immediately, no one would ever do that. Jesus called them, and immediately they dropped everything. Why? Because they'd been held back. They went into the family business, well, because they weren't chosen. They weren't invited to do what they really wanted to do. Because every young boy wanted to be the disciple of a rabbi. And the rabbi would come around and would pick the best. Pick the best and say, "Come and follow me." And it was such an honor that if a rabbi came and said, "Follow me," you would drop everything and go, and your family was proud. Well, James and John and Simon and Andrew were a little bit older, probably not a lot older, but they'd been passed over by the rabbis. They were not disciples of anyone. But Jesus, this rabbi, comes over and says, "Come and follow me." And so these four who had joined the family business because they didn't have anything else to do followed him immediately because they'd finally been invited. Unlikely as it may have seemed, they got their opportunity. So they followed him immediately. They were held back by the culture of the day, by the opportunities in front of them, and they couldn't do what they really wanted to do. But when Jesus called them, they followed him immediately, held back no longer. Think about that just for a second. But hold back reacting to it also. Just think about the disciples. Not leaving immediately because it was unexpected. Leaving immediately because they got their chance, they got their shot. Held back. I gave it three descriptions, but it's about time, as in the timing's not right, or wait a little more time, or take some more time to prepare. Time, like the time that is kept by a Timex watch. Remember the commercials from the 50s through the 70s with John Cameron Swayze? Please, someone say that you do. A few of you do. John Cameron Swayze, the Olympic broadcaster, the respected newsman turned commercial pitch man. Say, yeah, he did say that. He would get there with a microphone and he did these mock newscasts. Remember, he'd go there. This is John Cameron Swayze for Timex. And today we're going to strap this Timex to the bottom of this semi-tractor trailer truck and drive it over desert terrain. And then the truck would drive around and then it would come back and they would take the watch off there and show that the watch was still ticking. And he would say, what? Yes, Timex. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I remember one commercial where they said, what time is it when an elephant steps on a Timex? So they had an elephant stepped on a Timex, John Cameron Swayze doing the announcing, and then they picked it up and they said, so what time is it? And the person who was holding the watch says, it's time to get a new Timex. And so John Cameron Swayze had to, it was prepared that way, but had to say something like, well, maybe an elephant can't step on it, but Timex, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. As a matter of fact, if you ever heard of, there's a comedy guy named Dickie Goodman. You ever heard of him? He used to do those kind of radio edits where he would be interviewing somebody, but you would edit in a song. In 1974, the first one I heard, it was called Energy Crisis 74. And the announcer would say, I'm here at the White House and, talking to President Nixon. President Nixon, what are you going to do about the energy crisis? And then the song Leave Me Alone would be on there. And it started off in the 60s with interviewing with a spaceman and all these different things. And Dickie Goodman parodized John Cameron Swayze because the name of the character he portrayed was John Cameron Cameron. Always happened that way. So now you're going to go back and try to find old Dickie Goodman and John Cameron Swayze things because now you remember. Because it's not so long ago. Time has passed. This week when I was talking about John Cameron Swayze, though, most people didn't know. And I'm so glad that some hands went up there. And almost everyone remembers Timex. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking, but you can't remember who said it, right? I found another commercial from 1989 where they did sumo wrestlers. Two sumo wrestlers, and they strapped a Timex watch to their belly and ran into each other. Well, of course the Timex made it there. It's just like, it's skin getting mushed in there. But then they had John Cameron Swayze's voice on there. Timex, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And time passes, and time passes, and time passes, and held back is about time. But held back in this week's Bible reading isn't about the kind of time that keeps on ticking. There's another kind of time. Do you know that? Say, yes, we know that. There's the time that is known as chronos, like chronographically. Look at me with the big words. Chronographically, time that passes. But there's another kind of time called kairos time. Go ahead and say that. Say kairos. Kairos, that is high time, perfect timing time. It's about time. The time has arrived kind of time. It's the kind of time that signifies an event, a happening, something exciting. Not coming, but something exciting here. It isn't the time that keeps on ticking. Jesus was talking about that special time. High time, perfect timing, urgent time. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And in some translations, it goes like this. The time has come. God's realm is at hand. Turn around from the way you're going and believe in the good news. The time has come. I heard somebody use that language in a speech this week. I think it was on Tuesday. On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that too far long have strangled our politics. We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea, passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness. And President Barack Obama was talking about Kairos time. It wasn't time that keeps on ticking. It was the time has come. There's an urgency. It's special time. The time has arrived. It is fulfilled. Urgent time. And in the Bible reading today, it's the time where we're no longer held back. It's God's perfect time. Time to move ahead without fear, held back no longer. Just like those first four disciples. And when you start thinking about that kind of time, you may be thinking about stuff that's going to go on today. You know, we've got an annual meeting. We talk about money. We talk about the future of our church. And you might be thinking about, you know, the time has come to double our attendance in worship, Sunday school, to double our attendance in midweek ministry. The time has come to increase income with pledges and offerings, fundraisers and rentals by about 50% over the coming year. And the time has come to raise funds for a roof and for other repairs before they become much larger ones. And the time has come to be committed to offer excellent opportunities for worship, engaging education, vital youth ministry, and fully staffed every worship service, nursery care. You might be thinking of those things. I wrote them in my annual report. I wrote them in this week's or this month's newsletter. I preached about them a couple weeks ago. Just said them just now. And all four of those things are important, vital, even. But we've got to be clear. We have to be careful in our making decisions. We have to be careful when we describe God's perfect time, this Kairos time. You have to be careful not to make it into something selfish or self-serving. Because God's time is about following Jesus, who calls us to be his disciples without being held back. It's about being willing to trust that following Jesus with all that we are is the only course that's in front of us. That's the agenda of Kairos time. Kairos time says, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do what God wants because it's the only thing that I can do. I'm not going to be held back. We as a congregation aren't going to be held back. And maybe some of these things are part of what happens. But underlying that can't be selfish or self-serving. It's, I'm following Jesus. Kairos time is about being able to ask in our lives, what is keeping us held back from really following Jesus? And as we search the answers for that, we find that we follow Jesus much more regularly, maybe not easily, but it becomes more natural. It's about being able to ask. This Kairos time is not following Jesus. Is the difficulty in following Jesus, is it just something that we're not ready for, but we will be soon? Like being held back a grade? Is it just something that we're working up to? Is it like Jesus who was held back because John was still the herald of the things to come? Is that what holds us back? Are we able to ask something like, are we saving something for the right opportunity to come along? Are we saving an invitation? Are we saving really selling out completely to God, just waiting for the right opportunity? I'll do it when the time is right. Or can we ask, do we feel restrained from following Jesus out of fear. Fear that someone will laugh at us, or fear that if we do that, people will think that we're crazy. Or maybe it's something else that holds us back. I don't know what it is. When Jesus called the disciples, they saw that it was their shot, that it was Kairos time. It was now. The time was fulfilled. It was time to go. And they followed Jesus, held back no longer. And so as Jesus calls us, and I know it's hard to make that leap because we're not working as fishermen. We haven't taken up the family business because there wasn't something else that we could do. But still, Jesus calls us to be his disciples. And as Jesus calls us, are we willing to respond? Jesus said in the scriptures, in this one today, if we take the translation that we're most used to, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it is so much more than another Sunday school song. Let's pray. As you call us, God, we may be in fear, we may not be ready. We may wonder if we have enough in the tank to get us where you need us to go. Help us to remember that you are enough and that we can follow you, held back no longer. Amen.